Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3. Hello and welcome to a new year here on City Alpha Woo! 3, a Star Trek podcast here on the Nerd Party Network. Yes, woohoo! I am Darren Moser, stranded here with my fellow Strandies. Our situation hasn't changed that much in the interim week. But Philip and Daniel, happy Festivus Trexmas New Year's. Did you guys count? I was going to say, it's not counting down to the Death Star exploding. Is it counting down to the Enterprise crashing? Because that you have a couple choices for that.
No, I mean, saucer separation, that's something I want to see.
Oh, boy.
But of course, you know,
or Praxis exploding. That would be cool.
Now, through the...
Just watch the beginning of Star Trek VI.
Through the magic of podcast recording, of course, for our listeners who are hearing this right now, I am not in the country of the United States right now. I will be in the United Kingdom with my wonderful wife doing our official honeymoon. So that is how we are starting off 2018, by fleeing America.
It seems appropriate. It seems appropriate. Congratulations again, Philip.
Thank you. Thank you.
What about you, Daniel? Are you counting down to Praxis exploding?
No, I don't think I'd be counting down towards that. I don't know.
I mean, I'm super excited about the fall of the Klingon Empire personally, but
I am excited for the new year in Trek. See what it brings. Lots of things, you know. I don't know. I'm optimistic. I'm very optimistic. Discovery. Possible weird directions for films.
Literally.
But you know what? Hey, more Star Trek's more Star Trek, and I'm going to be there. My butt's going to be in the chair watching no matter what it is. So,
now, have you, Daniel, proposed what the Star Trek Discovery console game will be like yet?
You know, that's a really interesting concept. I don't even know how I would design. So, okay. Wow. Yeah, I'm already starting my mind. This may be a topic for another time.
You opened the box.
Discovery isn't... Okay, so like with TNG, you would be like, okay, this is going to be all about diplomacy.
First-person shooter, let's go!
That's the thing. This isn't even the most action-packed of Star Trek. I mean, you might think it would be, but it's kind of not. There's only been... And whatever. Nope, this is not what we're talking about today. So, but really interesting topic, Philip. Maybe we'll talk about that later in the future. So,
now, yes. No more starting extreme, side chats on this topic. Not just yet. But today, we are going to have a short discussion on Star Trek Continues, like we talked about at the end of last week's episode. And this is a series, I've seen all of the episodes. I think, Philip, I think you were binging your way through them. I'm not sure if you got through everything, but...
Yes, no, I did. I binged all the way through in maybe 2 days, maybe 3 days.
Wow.
Star Trek Continues, because I'd already seen the first two or three episodes when they first came out in their contemporary times of coming out. But yeah, I sort of fallen off because, you know, and we'll talk about. But no, I was engaged, and overall, I know we're going to just focus on, you know, the two-parter ending.
Yes, the
right.
Finale.
But overall, I think it's a very impressive series. I'm probably not saying anything someone hasn't said already, but if you haven't checked out Star Trek Continues, and I recommend it. I really do recommend it. Depends how much you love TOS, but even if you're a casual TOSer, I think you'll enjoy it, because I can say a lot of things that have sort of negative feelings about, but overall... positive experience. It's free on YouTube. Check it out.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before. Thank you.
true. Now, that was Philip. Daniel, did you do the minimum required effort for this week's episode?
I did, in fact. I got by with Satisfactory. So I watched the final two episodes. I have seen an episode or possibly two in the past. But for this episode, I did just rewatch, or not rewatch, but I just watched the final two episodes. I think it's To Boldly Go. Is that what it is? Parts one and two.
Yes, To Boldly Go, part one and two. Good. No, and at a minimum, I just wanted to talk about that, since obviously I wasn't expecting everyone to take on Philip's stance of just watch all the things. But Star Trek Continues, a little bit of a backstory, is a fan production that continues Star Trek. I know, it's really a bit of a grasp. But it basically continues Kirk's mission after the end of season three, and they ended up doing a 10 episode run that released between 2013 and 2017, mostly funded by Kickstarter and self-acquired funds, a little Indiegogo thrown in. And ultimately what I think they produced is one of the most visually accurate tone set series that really, you know, puts fan films in its own category.
Hang on, can I ask a logistical question here?
Yes,
you have one guy pulling one side of the door, and one guy pulling the other side of the door as they walk in,
and then the third guy goes.
Does this series not take into account
the animated
series?
I don't feel like it does. I've only seen 3/4.
I don't think it does. Yeah.
Then it kind of skips over year four, presumably, right? From what I understood, even from the final episode here, they talk about the 5-year journey a lot, right? And we all know that the five year mission was part of Gene's original pitch, and then of course season one was year one, season two, blah 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 blah. So we get to season three, and then that's it. Presumably, like you say, these two episodes and this whole production take place during the final year, unless maybe they split. I'm not sure. That's why I'm curious.
So looking at the star dates that they gave, it looks like they jump a bit. So they, how to call it? So basically, part of it, I think, is they did a couple little vignettes before they kicked off their first one. And one of the first vignettes they did was called Turnabout Intruder. And they basically recreated with their actors the last scene of Turnabout Intruder. And so that was kind of a nice transition of you could watch the original episode and then watch this. And then it kind of was, okay, this is who's going to be playing Kirk now. This is who's going to be playing Spock and McCoy. And they mimic the exact end of that episode, line for line, shot for shot, and then I think continue it a tiny bit past that. And it's an interesting. So that leads me to believe that this is the beginning of the next.
I haven't seen that thing yet. Gaps. When they continued a little bit, they didn't wake up and be like, "Oh man, I had the weirdest dream about."
No, they didn't. Yeah, they didn't do that. But and then looking at the star dates they gave this is they did 6147 through 6995. So they did the standard, you know, this is 1 year. But I got the feeling at the very end that they had kind of jumped forward a couple of years to like just the end of the mission, especially in the last two.
Well, I think this ahead here to the episode. Not in a bad way, but you can maybe. Anyway, I'll just say it. There are vestiges of these are the voyages, you know, we're going back to Earth. Hold on, one more mission before, you know, and then people, not everyone makes it home, you know, and so it's kind of like, and then you have the big.
That's true. We are discussing the plot. So if you haven't seen any of Star Trek Continues, just be like Philip, watch it for 2 days and then come back and listen.
Right. Well, and you mentioned Darren, you and Daniel both mentioned sort of the visual elements. And when I was watching the whole series, and I, you know, true here with the two-part finale, is that I wonder, in fact, they're very good about the tone, the music, the camera. I mean, like, everything. Everything is, as you remember, if you watch a lot of TOS. But I wonder sometimes it's like, man, I hate that TOS does that. But, you know, they're doing, you know, right. That's good. You know, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, right? But you're like, Man, I hate that. But when they do that in TOS.
I thought the same thing. It's so funny because there were moments like Kirk overreactions to things. And I'm like, okay, that's stupid. Like, it was stupid when they did it in the 60s. But, like, I can't – I don't know if I know enough to say that they're doing it to kind of – to give an homage to the original. Like, if they're trying to mirror and parrot, like, the original series, or if they're just doing it because they don't know. It's so weird. It's such a weird kind of – these fan films are in such a weird position. I don't envy the writers of these things because – What are they trying to do? Are they just because if they're trying to just be an original series episode, like the you say, Philip, yeah. Warts and all, I think they knock it out of the park. But they don't improve on it in any ways, and they're not as good as the originals. So it's kind of a weird, unenviable position to be in where...
It's like it's a copy, but it's as close to the original as they
right.
can.
But it's still a copy. But without trying to do anything better, it almost... It feels like a shadow, like a weird sort of it exists in this space where it's not even as good as things that it's trying to copy. If that makes any sort of sense.
Yeah, and I noticed, and again, I'm sorry, I'm going to keep watching the entire series instead of just the two episodes. But like, I know Vic, the creator and lead actor, directed. I don't know if you always want to do all those things at the same time, but hey, he did them, and more power to him. But it's always good to have someone outside.
I mean,
your person.
We can all say that Star Trek Continues would not occur without.
Yeah, no, and he's obviously super talented.
Star Trek Continues,
and not just acting, but production wise and making this whole thing happen. But I think with this whole series that the overacting of TOS, like you said, still exists, and which is fine because it's fun because I think when you have these guest actors come in, they get to play with it. But at the same time, I think one thing I was hyper aware of. Were the parts for women in this, because it seems a lot, not all of them, but a lot of them are just like, this is, and I'm being very broad, there's probably more subtleness to this, but all of them are just like screaming, oh no, and it's like,
right.
Can we, like you say, Daniel, can we improve? I mean, like, Uhura does sit in the chair, I think, once, or, mans the con, and so it's not like women don't do anything in Star Trek Continues. I'm not trying to say that, but I think they are kept a little, of course, there's a whole episode about what women can do as far as taking command. But anyway,
yeah,
that seems to be another. I know I'm trying to, but I think that there's sort of something that's kept back about being able to act in a different way. But I was going to say with Vic, when he directed, and all the directors, I wonder what the direction is of how do you act in TOS? Well, I wonder what his direction as a director was to do different guest actors into his actors.
Yeah, it's because I guess you have to make a visual choice. Well, it's actually, it makes me think of the Blu-rays. So when they were redoing the edition of the original series, like they chose to do an improvement on a lot of the visual effects. And kind of enhancements to a point, whereas Next Gen took more of the shot for shot, we're just making it look HD. You know what I mean? So it's that same question of, okay, you're trying to be Kirk, but you're not like Chris Pine trying to be Kirk. You're trying to be Shatner being Kirk. And there's hits and misses, just like you would expect, but I think that's only one piece of the puzzle, as like you mentioned, there's the look, there's the aspect ratio it's shot in, they literally built from the blueprints of Stage 9. I mean, it's laid out in the same way. It's obviously shot with modern cameras, but, it's lit the same way. It's paced
the
same
pacing,
way.
I was like, because it's YouTube. Well, it's not, YouTube is not, but, it's video.
It's a 4X structure with commercial
exactly.
breaks.
Exactly, yeah. You sort of always have, the pull in, and the music's like, and something dramatic, pull in da, the da, camera. Da, 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 da.
See, the problem for me with these sorts of things is always, the passion's there. Obviously, the love is there, and they hit it technically every possible way. Like you say, this... I pulled up the episode today, and my girlfriend was like, "What?" I'm like, "This is a fan thing. I have to watch for the episode we're doing."
I love the Tony. I gotta watch this for the podcast.
Darren Bolin.
and she, and And she was very impressed. She's like, well, wow, like that looks, and it does, it looks and sounds and feels remarkably like an actual TOS episode. The problem I always hit, always, every single time, is the writing and the acting. And I just, it's a wall that I just run into, and I'm like, okay. I mean, okay. You know, I mean, you know, TOS wouldn't have worked if, you know, there's lots of things to, it was lightning in a bottle. TOS wouldn't have worked if it wasn't Shatner, Nimoy, and you know, DeForest and all these people. It just, you know, like you say, Philip, Vic, you know, obviously tremendously talented guy. Like, obviously cares. And it's just, not that he's the weakest part or anything. It's just I always hit this wall where I'm like, okay, these are people pretending to be other people from a long time ago, pretending to be other people from a long time in the future. So it's like, I just always hit that
now,
wall.
Did you feel that, Philip, though? I'm curious, though, like, especially, I'm just in the actual aspect of watching them mm-hmm. all, or pretty much all of them in one go. Did it, I mean, yes, you're never going to turn off that part of your brain that you're not going to be like, oh, that's not Shatner. Like, I realize that, but like, I'm curious for you, from your exact time of watching it these last 2 days, did it blend in such a way where your brain was kind of like, okay, this is how this interpretation is rolling, or what was that?
Yeah, I think, I want to be fair to everything here, but I thought I didn't realize there was a story arc until, like, oh, hey, wait, the story arc is their Constitution-class ships that are disappearing mysteriously, and the fleet's getting smaller and smaller, and this is sort of, you build and build and build until we get the storyline of the last, you know, finale of explaining what happened to all these ships.
Right. You have the thread of Dr. McKenna, the ship's counselor program.
Right. I will say the only, it would be interesting, I'd be watching a scene thinking like, oh, how would this be with, but I don't think I was ever, like, I think with Kirk, I never thought, I wonder how Shatner would do it. I was like, you know what, he's doing Kirk and that's fine, and I'm buying it. I think the only person, and I hate to call anyone out, I apologize, but oh well. The only person who I wasn't that happy with was who played McCoy. And I think it's just his look, in as much as that he has sort of a very expressionless face, whereas... Yeah.
He also has a very young face. Like,
he's much
Kelly
younger
is
than
not
yeah. I mean, he has
face.
The voice. I mean, the line delivery is great, but just the facial acting, I don't usually get a lot of emotion. Of course, McCoy's often nothing but emotion. And so I think, you know, you think of Dee doing that. And even Carl. Even the way Carl does it.
So, okay, here's the thing, too, I think that is a bigger part of my problem as well. Carl and Chris and... Carl! Sorry. Oh, man, that's good.
Late night internet.
And Carl!
And Zachary are supposed to be different versions of the characters that we've already known and love. These people are supposed to play the exact same versions of those characters. Mm. And that's a tougher bill to sell, you know what I mean? When it's already, like, this is literally 1 year or maybe a year and a half after everything in TOS. This is Shatner Kirk. This is... this is Nimoy Spock, but it's not. I mean, it's not even close. And that's what's, again, not to, like Philip said, I'm not trying to, these people obviously cared a great deal about what the work they were doing. And I think it's valuable. I think it's tremendous what they accomplished. But when I'm watching it, it's hard not to be comparative. Not to say, oh, okay, well, okay. And some of them are better than others, but, you know, it's tough. It's tough for me. I don't. Maybe it's just me, and maybe I'm shallow about it. But that's my frustration.
And one of the things, and I get it. I 100% get it. But I mean, you know, and I'm not saying anything that people don't know. But so with these the two-parter here, all the new characters that we've met, this entire series of Star Trek continues. Like, oh, these are interesting people they've introduced. Oh, they killed them all.
Don't
okay, that's
it.
Why. Yeah. That's why you've never heard of them again. Okay. Well, that seems a little. Like, when Drake, I don't know, I know we're going into it, but, like, when Drake, the security officer, I mean, yeah, I know he's a redshirt and he's supposed to die, but, like, dude, that guy was kind of cool. Like, I got to know him. He had, like, the appendage arm prosthesis. And,
yeah.
Like, he was a nice guy, and he had to kill himself. Oh, come on.
Oh, see,
Star Trek continues.
Was he a character in the show? Because he didn't have any lines or anything in this episode, did he?
He was, like... No, he was, like, the lieutenant and security chief, but you see him throughout...
The continues.
You know, the series, but
in this specific episode, I don't remember him even having a speaking line. Was he the one that went down to the planet?
Maybe? No, no, no. He's the one where the two security officers and she made the one guy shoot him. Like, Drake had to shoot his guy, friend and then shoot himself. I'm like, oh, come on. That's kind of a little...
And then you... Yeah. And then you had, you know, formerly Yeoman, now Lieutenant Smith.
Oh, and I did not
apparently has ESP powers.
I did not realize who she was supposed to be. I mean, Smith, with a name like that, right? How am I supposed to know? But then at the end, I'm like, oh, I remember you touching hands. I'm like, all right, so I'm going to Trek Corps here.
So was that character in the actual episode?
Yes,
okay, cool.
Yeah, there was a sort of nondescript blonde.
Yeah, she was close to Gary Mitchell. Like, she was actually from...
I meant to look that up before. But I didn't get to do that.
I did, because I think she was supposed to be sort of a nondescript crewman. So I think when she says, you know, I left in this episode, she says, you know, I left to go get my commission because now she's a lieutenant. Yeah, that sort of explains that. But
and it, like in Where No One Has Gone Before, I kind of picture her as interacting with Gary Mitchell like that one woman who Gary interacted with Khan. They're like kind of that conduit for like explaining, and they can monologue too, and we can kind of see, you know, what they're inside their mind. But yeah, that was a nice touch. I mean you have Trek people all over this series. You have Marina Sirtis doing the computer voice, which was
cool. Like in the Mirror Universe,
I mean,
it's
if you're gonna have
Dorn.
Someone do it, and it's Michael Dorn, which is hilarious because of course it's Michael Dorn. And I mean, we haven't even talked about how you have, Scott Doohan playing Scotty. Right.
So and you have, I'm sure, Darren, you have the name handy. You have the daughter of the Romulan commander playing the Romulan commander.
Yeah, I have the
which they gave her a name.
Name, but yeah. Yeah.
Which I didn't care for.
Charvernek.
Like a big...
I can't pronounce Romulan. Okay.
Oh,
I don't have the
guttural. Do you not do names, Daniel? Is that what it is?
No, I just didn't care for the name they picked. Kind of like Dr. Bob for the Voyager Doctor.
Took you how many years to come?
But no, I remember when I was watching To Boldly Go the first time, and for some reason, my brain didn't even catch that. Like,
you just thought they'd resurrected the actress and just
I didn't even think about the fact that like 50 years has passed. Like, it was literally like, oh yeah, that's right, that's the character from, you know, that episode,
and
it looks just like her. And it wasn't until like later that I'm like, wait, there's no way that could have been the same actress. But it looked like she walked off the page, and it was, so that was very well done. I really enjoyed that.
Now, I don't know how TOS you guys are or how much you feel about it. So this two-parter throws together a lot of parts of the series.
A lot.
So yeah, I was going to say whether it's too much.
It basically transitions right into the movie.
No, I'm not talking about that. No, I'm talking about references. So you have Where No Man Has Gone Before, obviously, sort of your foundation. Then you have the Enterprise incident with the Romulan commander.
Right, with the Romulans.
And I know there's probably...
And then you had that other ship that they took out, it the Hood?
Right. That was from...
And I'm trying to remember, I don't know if we actually see the Hood in other...
Yeah, I don't know. I'm really split, actually, on all the references and all of, like, how they tie everything together with the, you know, the saucer separation, all... I'm very 50-50, like half the things they did worked really, really well and like tied things together in a really neat way. And literally the other half feels like, well, fan fiction. That's what it feels like to me. And like, it's probably just me, but it, scene for scene, I was like, yeah, that's awesome. And then I was like, no, that's stupid. And then I'm like, yeah, that's great. That makes sense. Like, for example,
it was an emotional roller coaster.
It was.
I can
tell. Good thing there was two parts.
For example, tying everything together with the Gary Mitchell storyline was cool. I thought that was a really smart way to do it. Having these
espers.
I hated. Oh God, they said the word esper so many times.
I thought we were going to get an award on ESPN.
that's the SBs.
So that was really cool.
It was a little. And I don't know. Star Trek has done everything, so it's not hard to repeat it. But it reminded me a little much of the Augment storyline from Enterprise.
There was, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But sorry.
But having them destroy all the Constitution classes was... that was unnecessary. You don't even need to have that part of the storyline explained. It just... Everything... like you mentioned, Philip, they have these new characters, right? And I don't know the new characters very well, but... Oh, God, the transporter sequence, which I think we should talk about.
So Counselor McKenna being beamed, but not there, and then she's there for like 10 minutes, and then she. But
I was a little worried that they were going to like do the TMP. I'm like, I don't want to see.
Yeah,
I saw Drake kill himself. I don't want to see her become a blob.
Okay, I could probably go on for 15 minutes about the sequence of her in the transporter beam, and maybe we'll talk about it. Maybe we won't. But her being the motivation for Spock to go back to Vulcan, right? To do the Kolinar.
You didn't get the heft of it, right?
I was split 50-50.
I think you might have gotten a little more of that if you had seen the whole series. Because they do use it throughout, especially more towards the later episodes. Like, it's definitely not a thread through the entire series, but it does interject itself.
Yeah, well, because, I mean, at the beginning of the series, Dan, it's almost like she's introduced, you're like, oh, she's going to be a Kirk foil. And she is a little bit, like, you. Not saying that they're going to get together, but you see a little more interaction between them.
But she interjects herself into the trio pretty well.
Yeah, and in
the
second half of the series, there's a little more like, oh, she's like another Spock or something like that. And so she starts to get a little more with him. Now, I think it was more sort of like, you know, Worf, Troy. It wasn't really until the last episode where it's like, they're an item now, so. But.
Right. They don't do that. So, yeah, there was that scene. I mean, to talk about pieces from the last episode, or did you have another point?
Well, just to say, so new characters that we, you know, McKenna gets.
Philip, your name's not Daniel.
I want to talk about that scene, just real quick.
All right, transporter us.
Let's just talk about the transporter scene.
Yeah.
This is so upsetting to me. Because, I don't even understand what they were going for. Like, partial lock, the ship is exploding, what's happening here? She's...
Right, like, she's there, but she's... They didn't have, like, the 99th percent of her or something. Okay. So I don't know.
Oh.
Technology aside.
No, that was actually my biggest issue. She should not be able to interact with these people, right? There's no way that she can, like, sit in the transporter buffer at, like, 99.9% of...
I kind of look at it as somehow the beam is containing her, but there's nothing to hold her together if they were to turn off the beam, and they can't keep it up.
But
forever.
It kind of reminds
That's
me
how
of
I, saw it.
I can't remember the name of the episode. The Enterprise episode.
The one with Barclay.
The Enterprise episode with the inventor of the transport, and they get a son.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they manage to get him for a second, and then once they beam him, he's dead. Boom, falls down dead. But anyway.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was thinking more of the Barclay one where he's
Realm
suspended in the
Realm
beam for a long time.
With the hand puppets?
with the dryer hoses.
That scene just bothered me. It really did. It just felt and reeked of this sort of, desperate. Like,
did it feel like
it
a
felt
cheap
like
out?
Such
or
a cheap,
you just feel...
cheap thing. Like, either kill her off, that's fine. But it's like, oh, of course we can only hold her here for 1 minute so she can have her...
And she was like, the lesson that I learned from
it
you.
It is a TV show, Daniel, but yeah.
It was too over the top. Kill her off if you want to kill her off, that's fine.
Speaking of which, I'm not saying this was too much, but I'm like, I see what you're doing. Did you notice the Star Trek II James Horner music playing? The end of When Spock Dies music playing?
What?
During the transporter scene?
I didn't
notice. Oh, yes.
I have to listen
again. It was sort of like, because I don't know if they can steal the whole thing. But anyway, but there was heavy homage.
It was similar enough.
Yes, so it was like, and then I didn't get why they lifted their hand. Like, my wife was watching with me. She's like, are they going to do they are. They're going to do the thing against the glass, you know.
So that's true.
Kirk and Spock are raising their hands. I didn't get it either.
I also like, you know, in universe, I can explain what it is that Spock gives his Vulcan way, and then he's like, I'll do it the human way. But I like to think that it's a bad acting direction, where it's like, no, Todd, the regular wave. There you go.
So what I thought I saw in that scene was Kirk and Spock both put their hands up, and Kirk's just holding his hand up.
To wave goodbye.
It's not even a wave. It's like a Shatnerian wave.
It's just
wave.
A hand, oh, hand up. Geez. Like, stop in the name of love sort of thing.
Yo!
And Spock goes to do, you know, the traditional Vulcan greeting and doesn't. He just looked... I don't know. That scene is weird in 10 different ways for me. I thought it was...
I have heard it's a very decisive scene. It's like you either really like it or you really don't. I think we know where Daniel falls, but that's all right.
Well, a character who I liked, and it's probably because I have a little bit of a crush on her, was Lieutenant Smith. And I was like, you know, once I started to see what's happening, I'm like, oh, God, how are they going to get rid of her? Because I don't want to get rid of her. And I'm like, okay, they made her a superpower, which, again, I imagine that they didn't necessarily mean to end Continues as soon as they did, but maybe they did, because this ties together very wonderfully. You know.
Well, I think it definitely became, like, especially with all the stuff that was happening with the fan film regulations, they're like, we're not going to get another round of funding, and we just need to end it on a high note.
But I mean, you know, if you showed this series to someone and you didn't tell them that, they'd be like, oh, this thing was planned the whole time. Because, you know,
right. That's
with,
true.
With Smith being the callback, because, again, I don't know who that was, and maybe they didn't know who that was, because Smith's a very easy name to do, and it just happens to be blonde. And so you're like, no, she's the same one from, okay. Well, then so the fact that she did have the power, and you're like, okay, and then noble right. sacrifice, you know, yeah, it all works out. But I was like, oh, I liked her. And actually, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the actress wrote or co-wrote some of the stories in the series. So I was like, oh, very, very talented young lady.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to mention on, actually, now I'm looking up if she actually wrote anything. Kifley Brown, don't see her. Oh, yeah, she did the teleplay for What Ships Are For, which is the one that was about
Ships Rotation?
With Q and Color. That's a really good one, Daniel. I really like that one. And has John DeLancey in it.
As Q?
No.
No, as another alien. Okay. He was like, I would watch that. Oh, but no.
Oh, yeah, they're not allowed to play their characters anyways outside of Star Trek, I don't think so.
Although I think that is now the new rule.
I'm pretty sure that was already kind of an
that
established rule.
Become.
I don't.
But anyway.
Well, but you have Pilgrim of Eternity, where you have the actor who played Apollo plays Apollo.
Oh, well.
That's the
though
first
the
episode.
Copyright may have expired on that one. Yeah.
Okay, maybe just a little bit.
50 years later, I think you're allowed to reprint.
But no, I want to talk about the endings. I mean, yes, it did feel a little bit like The Lord of the Rings with its multiple endings
boy.
And fade outs. And
yeah, you know, I feel like they could have, and it's easy for me to say, because I know it's hard to write it this way, that you could have started ending about a little bit earlier. Because I almost felt like the endings were rushed, even though I think everything was nice. I mean, I love the ending.
Because they obviously have to time it to end the standard length right. of an episode. Like, they're not going to go over
that. It almost felt like, you know, when he surprised the crew with, like, I got promoted, bye, suckers. And, like, wait, what? What? You know, it's more like a little accepting, like, you got promoted. And they're like, what the hey? When were you going to let us know, yeah. you know?
That was a weird...
but
that was a weird scene, I think, right?
Which one?
You know about the scene where
addressing
he's
the crew.
Addressing
when he
the
says,
crew
"I have good news and bad news"
at the in the convention hall. I mean, the part of the ship.
Yeah.
Where they
oh
all sit.
God. Yeah. When he says, "I have good news and bad news," the yeah. good, and he goes, "I've been promoted to admiral," and everybody
they're
cheers,
like,
and whoops and hollers, and he goes, "That's the bad news." I'm like, okay, you feel a little sorry for yourself, but that's making everybody else in the room feel real uncomfortable now that they clapped for you.
I don't want to be promoter either, Admiral.
I don't know.
I think that's why nobody clapped when he left, because it was so awkward. Like, I expected, like, he leaves, like, yay, and everyone's like, all right, well, I'm gotta go.
Gotta go polish off my resume, because I don't want to be Admiral.
I mean, he didn't tell everyone they were getting promoted, by the way. He buried the lead on that one. Right?
Oh, God. I am so of two minds on this, like everything else in this episode. I think the scene with him and the Admiral is so on the nose, setting everything up for what we know is to come. It's
oh, yeah. That was a great scene.
I most of it is too over the top. I think it's setting it up too cleanly, too simply.
Yeah, I don't feel like Kirk earned that.
No. I do really like the idea that Kirk has guilt over everything that he's done wrong.
Yeah.
And that's what forces him into early retirement. I think that's a really brilliant
idea. Well, early promotion. He didn't retire.
Or not, sorry, not retirement. You're right. Early promotion.
And then there were like six movies, but yeah.
I like that concept, and I think that was a really smart way of doing it. Other than that, though, like, hey, we're going to rebuild the fleet. Look at all these gold ships on the thing, and we're going to rebuild it exactly in this way, and everybody's going to get promoted, and you are going to get a new uniform, and here's your admiralty. Like, all that was, like, way too on the nose. Way
too
on the nose.
The gold ships, I get what they were going for. But my thematically organized mind couldn't hold it in.
Okay.
Because I know chronologically is the theme. But, like, it's not, they're all, not all Enterprises. They're not all, you know, what this or that. They're just like, here's the history
right.
of Starfleet ships.
Of course,
ships.
It's the Discovery.
So like, okay, I mean.
So we had
okay.
the Phoenix.
Phoenix and then, like, the
Annex
Enterprise, yeah. Yep. And they had the Kelvin.
It was the Kelvin? No,
Discover.
Yeah.
Did we skip? No, it was. Yes, sorry, you're right. The Kelvin.
It was Kelvin and Discovery.
Discovery, then the
Enterprise.
Constitution. Oh,
the, yeah, the NC.
I think we're missing one. God, I have to look it up right now.
It was the OG Enterprise, and then it was the. New.
And then it was the A. And then it was, well,
it's the refit.
Oh, and then the A.
Oh, yeah, because they're different. Yeah, yeah. There were themes. There were messages that they were trying to place in those scenes that were really cool. I liked the idea. Hey, Kirk feels guilty from all the way from the start of the series. From
okay, guys, I got the Phoenix, NX-01, Kelvin, Discovery, TOS original, and then Enterprise.
I'm surprised they didn't put the Franklin ends on just looks for good measure.
We don't want to confuse the fans, okay?
Well, I guess, you know, obviously each one is supposed to represent itself. So the Phoenix is the beginning.
Like a jump forward.
The Kelvin is JJ. Discovery's Discovery, obviously. And then, that's, you know, true. OG's OG, and then refit.
They keep going. It's like B. And
B wait a minute.
Oh, that would be funny.
You're like, what is
look,
going
on? Look, we
have
a 500 year plan.
There's the J the at the end.
Yeah. It's weighing down the whole shelf.
It's all to scale.
But yeah, no, because again, like, I think some of them, basically, they all work well. Okay, Kirk, I don't 100% buy it, but. You know, it's one of those, I'd rather you show me than tell me, but he tells me that he doesn't. Okay, fine, I'll buy it. Spock, okay, whatever. The love of the woman. And he does make some emotional choices in the two-parter. I can buy it. You know, they throw in Kolinar at the beginning. It's, you know, it's very Chekhovian. Not Chekhov, Chekhovian. You know, showing the gun in the first act. But McCoy, and I don't buy it. Like, I mean, I do, but I needed more.
But he's got to retire, because how can he come back from retirement?
But, like, I need a little bit more, like, because I don't, you know, if he had, like, someone had died in his arms, you know, some, like, I need a little bit more than just, like, oh, there's been a lot of death. I'm like, yeah, how's this year different than the other three? But anyway.
That is a good point. They were all red shirts, too. I don't know why.
Because I almost felt like maybe there should have been, like, again, because I don't add a lot. I don't make it too complicated, but something like, okay, we're on Earth, you know, what's the next assignment? And they're like, I'm not taking one. You know, something like, you know, because you're on Earth, you can do the whole reset. Like, you're either going to stay with the Enterprise refit or you're going to go out. And they're like, third choice is I'm leaving.
Yeah, no, it definitely, and again, I mean, TOS is the weakest of the series for me that as far as tone. And obviously, you know, I mean, like you've said several times, Daniel, obviously these people love TOS and highly respect it. But I mean, it's always going to be a fan film, and it's never going to be the original series. But, I mean, I think overall, though, I'm still stunned by the quality of the stories and the characters and the logistics of how it's shot for 11 episodes. I mean, it really shows how technology's improved that you could afford to make basically half a season of Star Trek, you know, 50 years later, just on with modern technology.
Yeah, and I the scene, again, I like it. I need a little bit more. Where the Admiral's like, we've adopted this new logo for Starfleet. And I'm like,
right.
Tell me a little bit more why. Like, it's just like, you know, right. 5-year mission.
Because we need to get to point B, so I have to establish point A.
You know, like, this, is it because of this mission? Because, I mean, yeah, but we've had bigger, you know, but, you know, like, maybe if he had, like, dropped some, like, oh, because of this incident, and...
Oh, drop a lot of names
and everything.
TOS.
Yeah, just because cool. Earn it a little bit more, other than, like, because I couldn't tell if he was talking about just because of this mission, or because of the whole 5-year mission, why are we adopting the symbol, and anyway. But, again, it's just one or two lines, but I just felt it to earn a little bit more. But, though, pushing that aside, it was good to see. I love this episode for trying to connect TOS to the motion picture, and I mean, I like that they did that, and I'm glad for these two-parter to do that. And in the ending, I mean, I'm teared up a little bit. There's the Enterprise in the dry dock. You know, even though I'm not a fan of what comes next in that movie, still, it's cool. It's going to be made better. We're going to have a cool slow motion fly scene with music blaring. It'll be cool, guys.
Yeah, I think it's definitely overall Star Trek Continues is a very divisive series where. I mean, Star Trek in general, people get a little heated over at times.
Or build entire
I mean, nothing
podcasts.
Like Star Wars right now, because, dear Lord, people are, like, freaking out. But no, Yeah, and but I would give a recommendation though for if you are a fan of the original series and you've not watched Star Trek Continues, it's all on their website, StarTrekContinues.com. I know it's really hard to remember, but yeah, so give it a watch. It's a lot of fun. It's fans being fans ultimately, and sometimes they hit the mark, sometimes they skip it. It's a really impressive thing that I don't think anyone else is really going to get close to anytime soon, especially with the new rules in place. But maybe we'll touch on it again later with our favorite episodes.
I definitely recommend it, and I feel like one thing about Star Trek Continues is that most of their episodes, if not all, I don't know if this last one did, but this last one was more of a celebration and tying things in. But most of their episodes have a very predominant message. Sometimes it's a little too much, maybe. But nevertheless, each episode definitely has a message about either, you know, equality or...
That's true. They do.
Or freedom, or how we treat these people or those people or whatever. Stuff to make you think.
All right. Well, Philip, where would we find you if someone wanted to talk about what's happening next week?
Well, Darren, they can reach me at NCPublicServant on Twitter. But they don't even have to tweet me. I can go ahead and tell them. Next week, we're going to be getting back on the Discovery... I was going to say a bandwagon. It's more of a spore drive, now that I think about it. The beginning of chapter 10, because each episode is a chapter.
No. Good try, Philip. Good try. You keep telling yourself that.
With the episode Despite Yourself, which I think is saying, despite the name of the chapters, we're not calling this chapter 2.
And Daniel, where would someone find you if they wanted to either vehemently agree with you or be really cross with your choices for Star Trek Continues?
Well, they could find me on Twitter, at OneUpDan. That is the number one, not the word, as in there's only one Enterprise that can properly saucer separate, and it's not the 1701.
Well, it is good for
crashing. Okay, so I just want to point out, we got a battle bridge on TOS. That was kind of cool, right?
Wasn't it just a repurposed engine room set, I thought?
Isn't every the battle well, bridge it's on TNG possible. Was just
it's actually possible. I think it was a repurposed observation lounge or the
look
their,
if we're gonna get into repurposed
room.
Star Trek sets,
yeah
I don't
that,
think
that
we
doesn't
can
bother
be,
me you're right no. That doesn't bother me.
No, instead let's focus on single use sets. That sounds like a lot more interesting topic. Well, if someone wanted to talk to me, they could find me on drsci-fi.com or on Twitter, Instagram, or Twitch under Dr. Sci-Fi. I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
Stranded here for a new year on Steady Alpha 3.
Come!